I started studying it. And I don't study books of the Bible. I read through the Bible and I study passages and I study little things here and there, but I don't study a whole book of the Bible. And the Lord laid it on my heart to study this book of 1 Corinthians. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, Lord, what are we going to do with it? And he's like, take it to your church. And I was like, what? He said, take it to your church, do it on Wednesday nights. So I've committed myself. I need one Wednesday. I tell them, the deacons, I need one Wednesday a month to go down to the eastern part of the state. We're still trying to expand the ministry down there. But the Lord's laid on my heart just to take Wednesday nights. And we're going to go through the book of 1 Corinthians. Not tonight, but we're not going to start it tonight. But the next Wednesday night I'm here. We're just going to start that. So you got me for the next Wednesday nights until you say, Bill, we're tired of you. Go on and get back on the road. But so I'll be here Wednesday nights and going through that, and I hope it'll be a blessing. Tonight we've got just a little bit of time left. We've got about 25 minutes. So I'm gonna skirt through a sermon that, well, not a sermon, it's just something the Lord laid on my heart. The Lord truly helped me this morning. We're going to be in the book of 1 Samuel, if you got your Bible with you. 1 Samuel is where we're going to be this morning. Is everybody, all hearts clear for everything that we discussed tonight? Okay. 1 Samuel. And I'm going to be all through the book of 1 Samuel. But I want to go to chapter number 8, and this is where we're going to read the scripture verse, and then we'll pray. If you found your place with me, stand in the reading of the Lord's word in reverence to that, and also to stretch your legs for just a minute, because I know y'all been sitting for a while here before I get into the scripture tonight. But as I was thinking and just going over things in my head, I knew it was going to be here this Wednesday, and the very, very plain thought came to my heart. Give us a king and we'll be all right. Give us a king and we'll be all right. Chapter number 8 in 1 Samuel, and verse started down verse number 5. Now, this is when Samuel is very, very old. Not done by any means, but he's getting older. And all of a sudden, the people's emotions start to look around and they start to look at what everybody else is doing, and they look at Samuel, and they say, and they said to him in verse number 5 of chapter number 8, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But this thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we sure do love you. Lord, we just thank you for this evening that you've given us. Lord, thank you for the good order and the good input for Lord, after the business meeting, and Lord, thank you for a good business meeting. And Father, I pray that you would just, Lord, control my stammering tongue, and Lord, let the words be guided by you for tonight. And I pray, Lord, that it be a help to your people, Father, this evening, and that you bind Satan, Lord, let him not hinder on the hearts of the people or my speech or my mind or the Holy Spirit helping me. And Father, we sure do love you, and all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Give us a king and we'll be all right is what the Lord laid on my heart. The first thing I see is whenever I see Samuel, I see this servant that starts coming up. And we know that the book of Samuel goes through all of Samuel's life from the time he was born until the time that he died. And I see in 1 Samuel as we go through this that Samuel becomes a servant by choice in chapter number 2 and in verse number 18. As it speaks, is written that, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. I see in verse number 26 of that same chapter that the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Then I see in verse number 3, or chapter number 3 and verse number 1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And in verse number 19 of chapter number 3, I see that Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. I see that Samuel is a servant by choice, and I truly believe that this applies to us as saved believers, that we should be servants to the Lord. John chapter number 12 and verse 26 says, "If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also be my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." We not only be a servant to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in everything that we do and everything that we say, and always keep our eyes on Lord Jesus Christ, but we also should be a servant to others. As in Colossians 3:23, it says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ." So I see as we're servants here, and I'm applying this to our lives, that serving, Samuel grew up as a servant, but we being born-again believers, we should offer ourselves as service, our services unto the Lord, be a servant unto him, but also we ought to be a servant unto one another within the church. And also those around us outside of the church, be a servant to them as well. And that way you're letting your light shine of Jesus Christ unto them. Samuel chose to serve God, but it's a choice. I want you to bear with me just a second as we look at his brothers. In chapter number 2 of 1 Samuel, in verse number 12, it says, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial." This was Samuel's brothers. "They knew not the Lord." And that word Belial, I looked it up and it was pretty neat. It's probably one of those blunt definitions when you look it up. It just means worthless and good for nothing. That's the way it's defined. And I thought, wow, that was Samuel's brothers. But so being a servant is a choice. His sons, but this has to hurt. And many of us can be in these same shoes, because Samuel's sons, it says in chapter number 8 and verse 3, "And Samuel's sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after filthy lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment." So definitely being a servant is a choice that we should make for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then I see the placement of God's service in chapter number 3 and verse number 19. Chapter number 3 and verse number 19. It says, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and he did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel." I see the placement of God's man, and I say this because God's got a place for each and every one of us. You're born again believer. God's got a place for each and every one of you as a servant if you'll be willing to submit yourself to the Lord for whatever it is. I see the Samuel judged Israel for several years as we go through the through the book of Samuel. He was their spiritual counselor. That's who Samuel was to the people. He was their spiritual counselor. But then I see up in chapter number 8, as there's a whole lot in between there, but we're not gonna delve in there. I see the perplexity of God's man in chapter number 8 and verse 5, which I read just a few minutes ago at the opening. "And these people, the elders of Israel, gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." So I see the perplexity of God's man here in this. And I also see the prayer of the godly. In verse number 6, it says, "And this thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord." And you and I as servants, that's where we need to go for answers. We need to just go to the Lord. I see the impatience of man in chapter number 8 and verses 2 through 5. And it came to pass when Samuel was old, he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his first was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. And they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after filthy lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. And then the elders of Israel came unto him. Basically what they said is, well, we want what everybody else has got. We want a new leader. Now, understand, Samuel wasn't done here, but the people started looking around, Israel started looking around and saying, we want what everybody else has got. We don't want to be left out. We just want to be able, like everybody else, give us a king to rule over us, to judge us, and to fight our wars for us. But Samuel wasn't done being used to God. He still had a lot of life left in him. He doesn't die till way up in further chapters. Samuel still had much wisdom to help his people grow in the Lord. Psalm 62 and verse 5 says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Now, most of these psalms are written by King David, who comes in later on in the chapter, in the book of Samuel here. Psalms 40 and 1 says, I wait patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Basically, the people started not wanting to listen to the man of God. And they said, we're going to listen. We just want what everybody else has. They're getting complacent, content in their ways. And they just, well, not content, but they want what everybody else has got. They don't want to listen to the man of God. But that's the most important thing that we should be listening to. Psalms 27:14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And again, King David's writing this. I see a people that would rather listen or get counsel from the world than listen or get counsel from God in chapter number 8 and verse 7. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people, all that they say unto thee. He says, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. And I thought how sad that was, but we see it, I mean, much in this world today. People don't want to follow the Lord. We're like the minority that want to follow the Lord. If we could be that salt and that light that we need to be for our Lord Jesus Christ, I believe we'd win more out in the world, because I'll tell you, we got something to shout about. We got something to be happy about. You know, but the people said, no, we don't want to listen to godly counsel. Proverbs 12:15 says this, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs 11:14 says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 19:20-21, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6, or just verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth at the seat of the scornful. Church, seek godly counsel, not the words that tickle man's ears from man. A lot of times we go to other people's opinions, other people's, what do you think about this? Should I do this? We need to be seeking godly counsel. Seek counsel from the Bible. You'll get many, many answers out of the Bible if you just ask the Lord to show you in his word. Read his word. Don't ever put it off reading his word. I'm not patting myself on the back and I'm not lifting myself up, but I make sure I get in God's word every day. I get in God's word in the morning. When I have to go to school and I have to be at school at 7:30 in the morning and it takes me an hour to get there, I'm up at 3:30 making sure I get in God's word before I start my day. You're like, preacher, that's crazy. I want to get my priorities right. I want to know what the Lord has for the day. And that's just me. You read your Bible, if you read it in the morning or at night, just make sure you get in the word. Get your godly counseling from the Bible. Get your godly counsel from the Holy Spirit through prayer. Get your godly counsel from godly parents. Got some young people in here. Get your godly counsel from godly parents. Get your godly counsel from godly grandparents. Get your godly counsel from godly aunts and uncles. You wiser ones in here say amen. So a lot of people don't go to these places. I don't know why they don't want to know God's will for their life and what God would have for them. I like a lot of times just emotions get in the way. I want to do what feels right. Get your godly wisdom from godly Sunday school teachers, from godly deacons, from godly preachers. Anyone that you know that seeks the Lord for their counsel in their own life, seek ye them for counsel. If you got something that you need to discuss, find somebody that knows the Word of God after you read your Bible and after you pray and seek them out. Whenever we were getting ready to make the shift from Rock of Ages Ministries to Seeds for Change, because God was leading my heart there, guess what I saw? Godly counsel. I said, am I crazy or is this really the Lord dealing with me? And with that, I got help just seeking godly counsel. I'm not too proud for it because I want to make sure that I'm in the Lord's will with everything that I do, and you should be too. Because to do something on your own without the Lord, it can be a train wreck. We're getting ready to find out. Paul told young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, he says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. I know it's talking to a preacher here, but bear with me because there's something in here. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all love, long-suffering, and doctrine. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, emotions, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But he mentions, even though that these things are going to happen, he says, keep preaching, keep teaching. He said, keep being that counselor. Keep being that witness. He just tells him, he says, just keep going, man. Don't quit. Keep being that salt and light for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In chapter number 8 and verse number 9, I see a premonition from the Lord. Now hearken unto their voice. Howbeit yet protest. Make sure I got the right place. You protest solemnly unto them and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Samuel's getting ready to let loose what the Lord led him on his heart, what the Lord told him was going to happen if these people got him a king. Godly counsel. Godly counselor Samuel's there for him. And he tries to help him. He says, this is what's going to happen if you make this decision without the Lord. And it was a mess. I see in these people a lackadaisical. That means lacking life, spirit, or zest. Not wanting to do what God would have them to do, but wanted someone else to do it for them. That's pretty much it. But Paul tells us in the book of Romans, chapter number 12, that God has given each of us unique gifts, talents for each of us to use for the Lord. They just wanted everybody else, they wanted somebody else to go out and do everything for them. Even if these talents are not something that can be directly used in the church, you can use your talent in the workforce. You can use your talent in school. You can use your talent in retirement. To be able to be that salt and light for our Lord and Savior, thus finding the perfect will of God for your life, speaking to saved people. Because only saved people can find the perfect will of God for their life. You have to be saved. You have to be born again. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We're just not supposed to sit back and let other people do everything. And I'm not just talking as a missionary, because I'm not even going to go there with what I see in churches whenever I present the ministry to them. But here's the thing. We've each got something to do for the Lord. It's not all somebody else do it. No matter whether it's picking up trash or whatever you're doing, your service of the Lord, workplace, school, do it with all your heart that you might find that perfect will of God. James chapter 2, 17 through 20. It says this, And I love this verse because it helps me understand I need to be busy. James says, even though faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Not work salvation. Okay, I've said that before. But we're supposed to be doing something. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? In verse number 26, it nails it again. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Showing that love of Christ to those around us, not just in the church. I mean, we need to love on our brethren. You better be working in the church to love our brethren. But outside the church, we got work to do. We really do. In retirement, in the school setting, in the workplace that we all go to. We have show them your faith by the things that you do. Show them your faith by the things that you say. Show them your faith by the attitude that you keep daily. But then I see as we come to the close of this thing, I see the depravity of a generation in chapter number 8 and verses 19 through 22. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. They didn't want to hearken to that godly counsel that they had. And what happened? They said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people and rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto their voices and make them a king. Samuel said unto the men of the city of Israel, send every man to his city. Pretty much God said, you want it, you got it. Here it comes. And everything that Samuel told him was going to happen did. And it was a mess. The fallout for 40 years. Hard to believe, isn't it? For 40 years, the people had to deal with the decision to follow man rather than follow God. They made bad choices based on emotion, is what they did. Patience versus emotion, when I think about Samson and his life, and I'm not going all through that. But we have to be careful with our emotions. And like I said at the beginning, whenever I was talking about doing Wednesday nights, I always seek the Lord, and I pray you do too, concerning things. We've got emotions. God gave them to us. It's part of us. We're built with them. We're wired with them. They're not bad things. They nudge us in directions. They help us cry with our brethren and sisters when we need to and mourn with them. But they also can lead us in the wrong direction. This is the biggest thing we deal with in school, because logical thinking doesn't come until the later years in life. We deal with a lot of emotional stuff. The drama. It's there. Even with adults, it's there. But, you know, they made a choice based on emotions rather than having the patience. Samuel was still there. Their spiritual leadership was still there. But they wanted to go a different direction, and it cost them. I pray that you always seek the Lord for your decisions that you make. I have things that come across my mind and I feel emotionally like I should do, but like I said before the service, I pray, Lord, if it's not your will, take it away. Lord, if it is your will, pour it on, because I need to know it's from you. And by doing that and getting in God's word and reading, you'll get answers through God's word. I promise you, if you look for them and ask for them, He'll show you answers in God's word. That we can make decisions and be patient in waiting. And I'm living proof that when you wait on the Lord, made many, many decisions with the Lord. And I'll tell you, they've turned out good. It wasn't fun, the waiting part, because it was emotionally wrecking. But it was good to know that peace of the Lord when you make the decision with God. God speaks in 15:35, as it's up towards a few more chapters up. 15:35, it says, and Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Egypt. But somewhere in a two to three year period of Saul's reign, God started to introduce his choice for the new leadership for Israel, King David. He started working on his heart 2 to 3 years into Saul's rule, but it took 40 years for that decision of the people to play out. There's a lot of 40s in the Bible. And what the number 40 relates to in numerology in the Bible is a time of trial and a time of testing. This was Israel. This is God's people. And that's what they had to go through before God had God got to have and set his plan in place for them. As we close this tonight, don't let your emotions control your decisions. Seek godly counsel on the major decisions in your life. Read your Bible. Pray. Lean on the peace or the apprehensiveness of the Holy Spirit. If you ask God if I'm supposed to be here, and he says no, apprehensiveness, anxiety starts kicking in, then go. But God will give you great peace if it's in his will. That apprehensiveness is just viewing the future with anxiety or alarm, feeling or showing fear. Wait on the Lord to work in your life and to work out the decisions that you make in life. Don't get ahead of God in your life. If you do, it just turns out to be a mess. Don't get ahead of God. Let God have his perfect will, his perfect timing in your life. Song of Degrees. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Let's pray. Father, we sure do love you. Lord, we just thank you. Lord, I thank you for liberty tonight. Lord, I thank you for this message you laid on my heart. Father, it was a help to me. And Father, I pray it was a help to the ears that took it in and, Lord, the hearts that soaked it up. And Father, I pray that you would just strengthen your people, Lord, to wait on you. Lord, show them in your word where you'd have them to be, what they should need to be doing, the decisions they need to make. And Father, we work through them through the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we just sure do love you. And we just thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for saving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.